Time, please, to the Lord, in a word of opening prayer, let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning in and through our Savior's most precious and worthy name. And O God, we pray that today you'll aid us, you'll help us, Lord, in our worship of thee. We ask, O God, that today we might know with assurance, Lord, that thou art here and not to bless us. Give us help as we would sing thy praise. Give us help, Lord, in every part of this meeting. May thy name be honored and glorified. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 58 in your hymn books, page 199, and the words will also be on the screen. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Hymn number 58, and we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in a word of prayer. Let's seek for his help as we come to his house this morning and we come to hear his word. Let's all pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, today we come into thy holy presence in and through our Savior's precious and all worthy name. O God, we come today to thank thee and to praise thee, Lord, for that name that is above all other names. We thank the Lord today that in that name there is salvation. We thank the Lord today that in the name of Christ we can have security. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today, Lord, as we come to sing thy praise, as we come, Lord, to thy word, we ask, O God, that this day thy name and thy name alone would be honored and glorified and lifted on high. O Heavenly Father, we pray for a very real sense of thy presence amongst us. Lord, we look to thee today. Come, O God, we pray, give us help. Aid us, O God, we pray, as we seek, Lord, to worship thee. We thank the Lord for your goodness and mercy that finds us here this Lord's Day morning. Lord, we thank thee today for the health and strength you've given to us. Lord, that we're in the house of the Lord today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to worship thee aright. Our Father, we pray that today you'll take our thanks for your goodness to us another day and for, Lord, all of your bounty toward us. We thank the Lord for being with us, Lord, in the week that has gone by. We thank the Lord for your goodness to us. We thank the Lord for your protection toward us. We thank the Lord especially, Lord, for being with us in our gospel mission there in Dundonald Orange Hall night after night. We thank the Lord for thy presence. We thank the Lord for those that were in. We thank the Lord for the unsaved who were in. We thank the Lord for that dear lady who gave her heart and life to Christ. Lord, continue to be with her. Lord, pray you'll speak on to others as well. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as the voice of man falls silent there in that hole, may the voice of the Lord speak on. O God, we look to thee. Lord, we ask, O God, that you would give the increase. Our Father and our God, we thank thee today for another day. We thank the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to praise thee and, Lord, to gather ourselves around the Word of God. We realize today that there are many, Lord, who do not have the privileges as we have. Lord, they are not blessed as we are blessed to be able to come publicly and to worship thee. And our Father, we pray that today you'll speak to hearts. Oh God, we pray today for those who are cold at heart. Lord, for those who have no desire to be found in the house of the Lord. Lord, have no desire to come and worship publicly. Oh God, we pray that today you'll just speak, oh Lord, to hearts today for those who are away from thee. Speak into hearts, oh God, we pray, and bring them, Lord, to thyself once again. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will restore unto them the joy of their salvation. Our Father, we pray today you'll remember us all as we gather in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, each one today. Lord, you know our needs. We ask, O God, that you'll come and speak to us. We pray, Lord, that we might not hear the voice of the Lord of man today, but we'll hear the voice of the Lord. O God, we pray, take the word, and Lord, apply it to all of our hearts. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. Remember those who are unwell in their own homes today. Minister to them. Remember those in hospital. Again, Lord, we pray for our brother Sammy Lewis. Draw very near to Sammy today as he is back again in hospital. We just pray, Lord, you'll touch him in his body and draw very near to him even at this time, we ask of thee. And our Father, we pray you'll remember others as well. We thank thee, Lord, that you know all about us. And Lord, we thank thee today that you can meet us at the very point of all of our needs. So hear and answer prayer. Give us help, O God, we pray. Remember the going forth of thy word, not only here in Sandown this morning, but across our land, across our nation, and yea, Lord, across our world. O God, we pray that we might hear that sound of abundance of rain. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see God at work. Heavenly Father, drive back all the forces of sin and evil. And O God, we pray that you'll raise that standard for truth and for righteousness. O God, we pray. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us. Give us help. Aid us in our worship today. And Lord, we pray that everything may be to the honor and to the glory of thy great name. So hear and answer prayer. Lord, we ask it in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning to the book again of 2 Kings. 2 Kings and the chapter 2, please. 2 Kings chapter 2. We continue our studies in the life of Elisha. And we come this morning to the verse number 9, 2 Kings chapter 2, and the verse 9, please. And we'll read together down to the end of verse 18. 2 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he stood, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not send." And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. When they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" Amen. We'll end there at verse 18, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me welcome you all along this morning to our morning service. We're glad to see you this Lord's Day morning, and we want to thank you and welcome you warmly in the Savior's name. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well today in the Savior's great name. But to you all, let me bid you a very warm, sincere, genuine word of welcome along to our service here in Sandown today. Now, we want to say a very happy birthday to a certain individual this morning, and she's trying to hide there behind her daughter. Lindsay has turned 30 today. I know we never tell ladies age, but very happy birthday to you, Lindsay, and I hope you're going to be spoiled. I know you will be, and I hope you have a good day. So a very happy 30th birthday to you. I very well remember my 30th birthday. Of course, it was only a number of years ago since I celebrated my 30th birthday. But happy birthday to you, Lindsay, and the Lord bless you. Now, do remember the meetings throughout today and the week that lies before us in the will of the Lord. 2:30, we have our Sunday school over in Hollywood in the Redburn Community Centre. Do remember the Sunday school there. Pray for it and pray that the Lord will bless the children as they gather in week after week. Pray the Lord will bless the teachers as well as they seek to teach and instruct the children. Then we come back to Sandown tonight for our season of prayer at 6 p.m. Let me encourage God's people, come and join with us for that time of prayer. Then we have our gospel service at 6:30 tonight. We'd love to see you back again this evening at our gospel meeting. Our brother David Warwick, God willing, will be here to sing as well. And if I could ask the members of session and committee just for a very short moment to stay behind after the meeting tonight, please. Tuesday night, that's coming back to our Bible study and prayer meeting. Off last week, obviously, because of the gospel mission. But we're coming back to take up our Bible study course this Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, looking at the subject of living godly in a godless world. And so I trust you'll join with us for our Bible study and season of prayer this Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And also this Tuesday night, we'll have the Lord's table. It should have been last week, but because of the mission, we didn't have it. And so it will be this Tuesday night we will remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way after the meeting on Tuesday evening. And then on Wednesday morning, 9 a.m., that sees the seniors outing leaving the church here at 9 o'clock. And so if you've got your name down and you're all signed up and all that, then please make sure you're here for 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, please. Friday evening at 8 p.m., that sees the monthly men's prayer meeting here in the church at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, 10:15, Sunday school and the Bible class, and then 11:30. And next Sunday morning, we're having a special visit from the Reverend Derek Maxwell, who we know well in this congregation from the Slavic Gospel Association. You'll know that the Slavic Gospel Association is one of the partner bodies that we as a denomination have partnered up with to help and to work with in the situation there in Ukraine. And so our brother, the Reverend Derek Maxwell, will be here to speak next Sunday morning, and we look forward to having him and to update us with the work that he has been involved in recently. Sunday school in Hollywood, 2:30, and then our gospel service next Sunday evening at 6:30. I'll be preaching at the gospel meeting, and then Keith and Karen Lindsay will be here to sing next Sunday evening. Can I take this opportunity to thank all for your help and your support over the past week of our mission there in Dundonald. The Lord was good to us, the Lord blessed us, and we're thankful for those who came out night after night, and for those who made such an effort to come to the gospel mission. Thank you in the Savior's name for your support and for your encouragement. Continue to pray on. Continue to pray that the Lord will speak to hearts. Encouraged to hear of a lady who went home on Wednesday night after the meeting and got right with the Lord, and that gives us encouragement. And let's pray for others as well, that the Lord will speak on, and that there will be many other souls that will come to Christ as a result of the mission. So can I encourage you, for those who spent those days out in the wind and the rain round the doors, putting through the invitations, those who gave up their time to come night after night, your labor has not been in vain. And the Lord has blessed your labor, and the Lord will continue to bless your faithfulness to Him. Saturday the 4th of June, that sees our church family day over in the Scout Centre at Crawfordsburn Country Park. So remember that. If you haven't got your name down as yet for that, you please do that as soon as possible today, if at all possible. All are welcome. It's a free event, no charge for that at all. And we'd love to see as many as possible coming along to that church family day to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee as well. And we're looking forward to a good day. So there'll be lots for everybody and lots of things for people of all ages to get involved in. So if you haven't spoken to John and got your name down, then please do that today. Or there's a list there in the recording room. Put your name there on that. And if you're bringing others with you, by all means do that, but we just need to know how many you are bringing with you. So please do let John know as soon as possible. Or alternatively, put your name there in the list in the recording room and the numbers that you're bringing with you. If I could ask you please to remember especially in prayer our brother Sammy Lewis. Sammy is back in hospital again, and do remember Sammy in your prayers please at this time. There are no offerings being taken up, as you know, but the boxes are there for you to place your offerings and tithes in as you leave. Let's turn to the hymn number 182 this time, please. Hymn number 182, before we come to God's Word for this morning. It's a prayer, and let's make it the prayer of our hearts. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. We're turning back to 2 Kings chapter 2, please. 2 Kings chapter 2. We want this morning to look at the subject of strengthened for service. We come to the first miracle in Elisha's ministry. Right at the very commencement of his ministry, he experiences the power of the Lord in the parting of Jordan, one of the first of many miracles that was to take place throughout his life. But we want to look at the subject especially of how he was strengthened for the service and strengthened for the work that God was calling him to. But before we come to the word for today, let's seek his face, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would be pleased to break the bread of life to our souls. We ask, O God, that today you'll feed us on that manna from our Heavenly Father. Today we pray, O God, we pray that this morning we might, Lord, hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, that this morning we might heed that voice. O God, we pray that you'll speak to us all through the Word of God today. Encourage our hearts, challenge us, O God, we pray, as we come, Lord, to consider again the life of this man, Elisha. O God, we pray that you'll strengthen us, Lord, for the service in the master of the Lord, even as you strengthen thy servant. O God, be with us just now. Give us help, Lord. Put out your Spirit upon us, Lord, that Spirit to hear, and Lord, that Spirit to preach, and Lord, that Spirit, Lord, to do the Word of God. So be with us. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. In many ways, the relationship between Elijah and Elisha was that of a master and of a servant. We noticed how that last week the school of the prophets or the Bible college students referred to Elijah as the master, and thus inferring that Elisha was the servant. And in so many ways, that is an accurate description and an accurate picture of that relationship and that connection that for that time connected Elijah and Elisha. And surely as we think of that relationship, we can only be brought to see how that it is a wonderful type that exists between Christ and his people. Christ who is the master, Christ who is the Lord, and we his people who are his servants. Elijah, as we've been noticing over the past number of weeks, has been preparing Elisha for that time when Elijah would no longer be with him. And surely Christ, as he walked upon this earth, prepared his people for that time when the Lord would be taken from the people back to glory. And how that there was one necessary thing for the people when the master would be taken from them, that the double portion of the Spirit of the Lord would be upon them. And that's what Elisha desired, as we have already noticed. You see, Elisha, now that Elijah is gone, needed to be strengthened for service. He needed to be helped, he needed to be aided for the work that lay ahead of him. And surely, folks, is that not still true today? Is that not true of you and I, we who name the name of Christ, you who are saved today? We all have a service for the Lord. It's a different service, it's a varied service, but we all have a service for the Lord, but we need to be strengthened for that service. For the task, you see, that lies before us today, we need to be strengthened as well. And this morning, as we consider and we continue our studies in the life of Elisha, we want to see how that he was strengthened and how that we must apply these same truths to our hearts and lives as well. And the first thing I want us to notice here from 2 Kings chapter 2, as he was strengthened for service, I want you to see the courage. The courage to be displayed. The courage to be displayed. Elijah has now been taken from Elisha, as we read at the commencement of our Bible reading. Elijah was translated from earth to heaven in that whirlwind. And now Elisha needed courage to continue on in the work of the Lord. He needed courage to labor on and to keep on in God's work. You see, taking up his duties as Elijah's successor was no small task. And so he needed boldness. Elisha needed to be strong in the Lord. He needed to persevere. He needed to press on. His mentor was gone. But the work still needed to be done. And so Elisha was determined to work on and to labor on for the Lord. As we read in verse number 9 and verse 10 and verse 11, in those three most wonderful verses, Elijah now is taken out of the scene. He's taken to heaven. But there's still a work left on earth for Elisha to do. And we see the work and the courage that Elisha had in a number of different ways. How do we see this courage? I want you to see, first of all, in verse 13, we see it in the possessing of the mantle. In the possessing of the mantle. Verse 13, Elisha, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. We've looked at this mantle before and how that it signified the prophetical office. This garment, which signaled that Elisha was going to go through with God, that he was standing with God, that he was not ashamed to be identified with God in that evil and sinful generation. You see, this now was an opportunity for Elisha to prove himself. And all the fine words and all the grand statements were now being put to the test. Would Elisha actually do what he said? Elisha asked for the double portion of the Spirit of the Lord, but would Elisha actually grasp the opportunity? Would he take that opportunity that was being presented to him? Was he serious about the work of God? Actions always speak louder than words. I hear people say they're with the work, they support the work, but they're nowhere to be seen when the work needs to be done. Elisha was serious about doing the work, and it's seen not just in his words, but most especially in his actions. He took up also the mantle of Elijah. He grasped the opportunity to prove himself and to show himself. He was serious about doing a work for the Lord. And thank God for the opportunity that God gave us this past week in Dundonald. Thank God for the opportunity to preach Christ in the gospel, to seek to do something for the Lord, an opportunity that many grasped, but an opportunity that others ignored and neglected. If we learn anything about the life of Elisha, it is the fact that God gives us opportunities to serve Him and to work for Him. It gives us opportunities of showing that we're serious about the work of God, that our Christianity is not just a sham or a show. Elisha grasped the opportunity God gave him. And he pressed on and he labored on in the work of God. Why did he do that? Well, I believe he did it because of something that must always be kept before the mind of every child of God. Elisha knew that one day he would stand before God to give an account of what he did for God. He knew that he was going to stand before God someday, and it wasn't going to be what Elisha did for his country or for his land or for his nation. It was what Elisha did for his God. You name the name of Christ today, you one day will stand before God for what you've done for him as well. Not what you've done for anybody else, what you've done for the Lord. You'll give an account of your service. I'll give an account of my service. I'll have to give an account as to why I failed to grasp opportunities God gave to me. That's why whenever the Lord gives us opportunities, we need to grasp them. We need to take them. We see his courage in that he possessed the mantle. He took the opportunity. Not only do we see his courage in the possessing of the mantle, but we also see his courage in the parting of the waters. As we've said, Elisha took this opportunity. What did he do with it? Verse 13, he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Jordan was standing between him and the commencement of his ministry and his service. He took the opportunity, the Lord blessed him for it. Elisha now showed even greater courage and stamina, and the Lord blessed him because he stood and he came by Jordan. Verse 14. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Here was going to be the first of many miracles in his life, in his work for the Lord. He took that mantle and he didn't put it on a display cabinet for something to be shown. It wasn't going to be a relic. It was something going to be used. He took what God gave him and used it in the work of God. God gives us the power. God gives us the resource. Every resource we need to live for him. But we must live for him. Folks, there is no point in sitting back and reminiscing what God did in the past. Elisha could have took that mantle and he could have reminisced and thought, my, what great things God did for Elijah. My, it was when on the Mount of Carmel and Elijah was possessing that mantle and the prophets of Baal, they were all dumbfounded and the fire from heaven came. It was that time when the cloud the size of a man's hand came and the rain from heaven fell. And Elisha could have reminisced about all the great times, all the good days. He didn't. He took it and he used it in his day and his generation. Folks, we need to take the power of God that God gives us in our day and our generation, not to be a relic, but to be a resource in our living for God. Thank God what he did for us in the past. But we're not living in the past, we're living in the here and now. Elisha took that mantle. And he did with the mantle exactly what Elijah did with it. In verse 8, we read that Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together. Elisha did the same thing. He took it, he possessed it. He wrapped it around him and he smote the waters with it. You see, again, Elisha was not called to be an innovator or to come up with new ways or new strategies or new plans. He was just to continue on in what Elijah did. And as Elisha took that mantle and smote the waters, verse 14, we read that they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. The waters parted. That hurdle that stood right at the very start of his ministry, he saw the power of God descend upon him because he took the opportunity and he with courage went and used the resource that God gave him. Is it today that people don't do anything for God because they think God can't do anything today in our day and generation? Is it today that the Church of Jesus Christ is so cold and so backslidden and in such a dire state that we think God can't do anything today? And there's no point in doing anything. Oh God, give us the courage of Elisha to take what God gives us and to use it for His glory. We see His courage in the possessing of the mantle. We see His courage in the parting of the waters. We see His courage in the prayer of the prophet. In verse 14, he cries unto the Lord, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Where is the Lord God of Elijah? There's many ways you could take this prayer. But the more I thought about it and the more I've looked at it, I believe Elisha was doing something here that sometimes we as God's people, and I'm as guilty as anyone else, sometimes we can not do in our praying. You see, what Elijah or Elisha was doing here in this prayer, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He was proving God. He was challenging God. And yea, we would say he was testing God. Lord, where are you? Lord, show yourself, show your power. He was challenging the Lord to demonstrate that power. Lord, show me that you're with me. Little book of Micah, chapter 3, we read, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my Father's house, and prove me now herewith." The Lord in the book of Isaiah, speaking through his prophet, says of the prayers, "Put me in remembrance of them." Let's plead together. Put me in remembrance. In other words, let's prove God. That's exactly what Elisha was doing here, I believe. He was proving God. Lord, you've said it, now do it. The courage to be displayed. Christian, as you and I live for God today, we need courage. We need courage. If we can't live for God today in 2022, we'll never live for God. If we can't stand up for God today, we'll never stand up for Him. God, give us courage to stand for Him today, as Elisha stood. And as we stand for Him, see what God will do for us and through us. The courage to be displayed. But not only is there this courage to be displayed, but I want us to see as well there's the confidence to be demonstrated. The confidence to be demonstrated. Because I want us to come back to verse 14, and I want us to consider and look again at this prayer of Elisha. Because I believe there's not only great courage, but there's also great confidence. You see, in verse 14, we see Elisha looking to the Lord. We see Elisha leaning on the Lord. We see Elisha trusting the Lord. And in this short prayer, we see his confidence in his God. You see, Elijah may be gone, but Elijah's God still lives. And as we consider further the words of this prayer for a moment, I want you to see that Elisha gives a tremendous summary of his faith, of his belief, of his doctrine as to who God was. And let's look at it. Because in this prayer that he prays, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's setting forth his confession of faith. He's showing what he truly believes. We see his doctrine here. We see his faith. We see his convictions here. We see his confidence. How do we see his confidence? Well, we see his confidence, first of all, in the power of God. When he prayed, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" he was affirming his confidence in the power of God. In other words, where is the Lord God that showed his power in the past? Where is the Lord God that answered with fire from Carmel and defeated the prophets of Baal? Elisha, as he prayed this prayer, realized that he was going to have enemies to fight as well. He was going to have forces that would work against him. Elisha knew they may well have been defeated some time back in Carmel, yet they were still going to challenge in the work of God. And so he pleaded for the Lord to show his power in demonstrating and overcoming the enemies that he would face. Though there would be opposition, yet Elisha knew that the God of Elijah was his God and that he would still answer from heaven. He could still demonstrate his power. Do we believe today? Do we really believe today that the God we serve is able to do great and mighty things for us? Do we believe it? Do we believe today that Elijah's God still lives and answers still by fire? Do we believe it? Do we? If we do, then it's time we started to show it. It's time we started demonstrating that belief by calling upon the Lord. I have to be honest and say that all this doom and gloom that there is in the church today, and all I hear about is end times, and if I hear that term one more time, the last days, and we're, oh, Christ is coming back before tomorrow. Well, he may well do. I don't believe genuinely he will, but that's your views and all of my views. And we're just waiting. And we're not working. We're not doing anything for the Lord. Because we believe today, and let's be honest, we believe God isn't able. We pray for revival, but do we really believe he can send revival? God isn't able to answer today. God isn't able to show his power today. It's just a matter of now in the waiting room, waiting for the Lord to burst through the clouds. No. No. That's not how it works, folks. We're to work and to labor and to press on, believing that God is able today, still able today, that the God who answered by fire in the past is able to answer by fire today. My Bible tells me that my God did great things in the past, but it also tells me that I'm to expect greater things for him in the future. Why do I say that? Because on the basis of Matthew 16 and the verse 18, where he says, I will build my church, and I don't care what end time views you take, you cannot take away from Matthew 16 and 18. God says, I'll build my church. And he's building up, he's not building down. God is not finished with his church today. He's still building his church. But it's time that the church woke up out of the sleep and the stupor that we're in, and we started trusting God, depending on God, working on God, for God. It's time we got out of this mindset that nothing can be done today because it's just too hard. Things have never been as bad as they were. I read in my Bible of a place called Sodom, and that wasn't a very nice place. And yet I don't believe there's any place on this earth just as bad as it today. It's time we got stirred to pray, because I tell you, it's not until we get the proper view of God and his power that will stir us to prayer. Confidence to be demonstrated was in the power of God. His confidence as well was in the protection of God. You see, as Elisha prayed, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He was demonstrating great confidence in God's protection of his child. Just as God had protected and looked after and watched after Elijah, looked after him there at the brook, when the Lord provided for him, the Lord would also protect and provide for his servant as well. He had confidence in the power of God, protection of God, but he also had confidence in the person of God. And perhaps this is the most fundamental point. When Elisha prayed, when he said, where is the Lord? Notice it's in capitals. It's the Jehovah God. It's the great God. It's the covenant-keeping God. He was displaying great confidence in the person of God, of who God really is. You see, Elisha prayed to a God he knew was reigning in heaven. Elisha prayed to a God who knew that he was in control of all things. We believe God. We know God is living today. We believe he's reigning today. But there are times when we can think and have the view that God somehow has abdicated his throne, that somehow God, his power, his person has been diminished, that his person has been reduced to some mere figurehead. And folks, if all you consume your mind with is what you see on the TV, what you read in social media, what you see in the newspapers, well, that's the conclusion you'll come to. If we're not feeding our minds on the Word of God, if we're not reading the Word of God, if we're not seeing the greatness and the power of God in his Word, then we will come to the conclusion, well, God has abdicated his throne today. Do you doubt God today? You mightn't actually say that, but I tell you this, your actions say it. Have you doubted God? Do you believe that God is still God today? That in this multicultural faith in which we live, And in this secular, godless age, do we really believe today in the person of God? Do we believe today in the power of the gospel to change lives? Do we? Do we believe today in the power of prayer? Do we? Well, then get to the prayer meeting on a Tuesday night. Do we believe in the power of the gospel when get to the gospel meeting on a Sunday night? This past week, God gave us an opportunity to preach Christ. And that's all we did, very simply, very plainly. Preach Christ. Did you believe in the power of the gospel? Did you? Do you believe the gospel still changes lives today? Do you? Or do you believe just the gospel is something to give you a passport to heaven? The gospel still changes lives today. And it's time the Church of Jesus Christ woke up to that fact and started believing that. We become so taken up with this world. We become so taken up with our hobbies and our interests that we've lost confidence in the power and in the person of God. God, have mercy upon us. Oh God, give us the spirit of Elisha to display such a confidence in the God that we say we serve and we follow. Because remember what we said at the start. You can say all the right things, you can act up all the right ways, but if your actions don't live it out, then you've got to search your heart. God, give us the spirit of Elisha. There's the courage to be displayed. There's the confidence to be demonstrated. But finally, there are the critics to be deflected. You can be sure, dead on sure, when you do a work for the Lord and you seek to press on in the work of God, there'll be critics. There'll be critics. And they have to be deflected. The devil will see to it that those who have courage and confidence in the Lord will be criticized and they will be attacked. Elisha faced them as well. He faced them from within the professing people of God. Verse 15, the sons of the prophets, these boys are back again. They came to Elisha and they came to criticize rather than to encourage. Notice when they came, verse 15, verse 14, at the end of it, we read that the waters parted hither and thither and Elisha went over. This was a demonstration of the power of God. Elisha has just experienced his first miracle, this time of blessing, and when the sons of the prophets were to view at Jericho saw him. The very time of blessing, the devil made sure that he had critics to come and to challenge that time of blessing. Just as he had gone over Jordan, the critics came. They came to dampen his spirits, to rob him of the joy of his blessing. We see, first of all, in verse 15, their deceitfulness. At the end of the verse, we read that they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. This was nothing but pure deceit and trickery. Now, they did acknowledge something, whether this was genuine or not on their part, we cannot tell. But they said that the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. That was certainly true. But their act of falling before Elisha was nothing more than a sham. We'll see how that played out. You see, these boys were just so full of themselves. Yet they were a fake. They had a form, a show of Christianity, that yet they possessed nothing of it in their hearts. And it can often be the most pious and the most holy outwardly that are making and masking a deceitful heart. But how quickly the devil can use such deceivers to do his work and to challenge and to criticize the real Christians who are seeking to live for God. Because you know this as well as I do, that when God blesses, the devil will always seek to hinder that. And as the Lord has blessed us, I believe, this week in Dundonald, be on your guard, Christian, because the devil will be out to get you. We see their deceitfulness, we see their wickedness in verse 16. They say unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. We see the real heart of these people. Because they doubt the power of God. They doubt the honesty of God. They doubt the ability of God, that God could actually have taken Elijah to heaven. Rather, in an evil, twisted manner, they believe that God maybe just took him and dropped him upon some mountain or some valley. What a low view of God they had. That God was playing tricks with the people, and God was acting in a cruel manner to Elisha. Oh, this world is such a low view of God. They see God as some sort of monster, some sort of ogre who's just out to play with the minds of people. And such a view of God comes from a heart and a mind who's far from God. We see their emptiness as well. Elisha gave in to their calls to send the 50 men to go out and to look for Elijah in the mountains and in the valleys. But look at verse 17. But found him not. They were made out to be fools. Their empty religion was shown up for what it really was. They had tried to shame Elisha. They had tried to make a fool of Elisha. But God made a fool of them. Eventually, the emptiness of false and fake religion and Christianity will be shown up. The emptiness of their faith was shown up. Notice something in verse 3 and verse 17. They sought 3 days. They sought 3 days. And they gave up and they concluded their hunt was in vain. 3 in Scripture always speaks of the resurrection. Do you know what these boys were actually doubting? They were doubting the resurrection of Christ, because remember, everything in Scripture points and speaks of Christ. In other words, their profession was only fake. They doubted the power of the Lord. They appeared religious, but they were nothing more than skeptics. What did Elisha do? Well, Elisha just kept at the work. Look at verse 18. And when they came again to him, and notice the words in brackets, for he, that is Elisha, tarried at Jericho. In other words, Elisha didn't go on this search party with them. He just stayed at the work and did the work that God had called him to. And folks, there will be many who will want to deflect you and distract you from the work that you're called to do.
Let them go on their merry way. You stick at the work.
He remained faithful in that place that God had called him to. And there will always be the scoffers, there'll always be the skeptics as you do a work from God, for God, but don't allow them to distract you from doing God's work. And as we will see in the weeks to follow, God did a mighty work through Elisha. God demonstrated his power again and again. Dear believer, this morning, as you live for God, take courage. Take courage from the strength that alone the Lord can give you. Have confidence in the God that we serve, that He is able, and yes, expect the critics. But keep at the work. There's a work for Jesus, the hymn writer says, ready at your hand. 'Tis a task, the Master, just for you has planned. He is to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. The thing is, folks, are we doing that work? Are we in the work? God give us the strength, the courage, the confidence to stick at the work, to do the work. Not just to allow our lips to say things, but allow our hands and our feet to show that we are serious about the work of God. God give us the courage, and the confidence that Elisha had. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come and we thank the Lord this morning for this man, Elisha. We thank the Lord for how you used him, how you blessed him. Lord, we thank thee for the courage that he had to take up that mantle and to use it for thy glory, to see the power of God at work. Oh God, we pray that you'll help us in this day and generation to use the resource that you've given to us, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to accomplish great things, to do great things for thee. Oh God, use us, we pray. We ask, O God, that we might not merely pay lip service to Christianity. We may not, Lord, merely pay lip service to Christ. But, O God, we pray that our actions will always speak louder than our words. Lord, that we'll be true to Thee, faithful and loyal. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless Thy word to all of our hearts today. Keep us at the work. Keep us pressing on in the work of God. And Lord, we pray through Thy Holy Spirit working in us and through us. May we see God bless the work and take the work of God forward. So bless us, we pray. Encourage us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask.